December, everyone. This is March Twisdale, producer and host of Prose, Poetry, and Purpose. And you're listening to me either on demand at www.voiceofvashon.org or on the air on Voice of Vashon's local FM station, 101.9 FM KVSH. And it is December. Usually I try to not mention when exactly I'm doing an interview, but this interview is going to be all about some really awesome stuff related to this winter holiday season. And I am thrilled to be sharing the studio with Chris, none other than our local, our own, the amazing Chris Austin.
Hey, March. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Oh, my. Thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to not have to tell someone how to actually use the equipment in here.
Well, yeah, I've got a lot of false starts on the microphone. Yeah.
Yeah, but thank God for editing, right?
Well, the live show...
Oh, wait,
show,
you do live...
I do a live... Well, I did both. You know, my first show was pre-recorded like this.
Right.
And it is so much more work than a live show. Because live is just out there. There's nothing you can do.
Well, that's a very fair point because, yeah. Okay, people, just FYI, while you're listening to, like, my hour-long show, that took usually about 2 hours to record, and then I would say I spend at least an hour and a half on, like, every half an hour of editing.
Yeah.
So it's like four hours of editing.
It's, yeah, and I would write these little skits for the Austin Hour,
mm-hmm.
and you got to get the sound effects, you got to get the line right, don't do the line, you know, redo it. It was just, I enjoyed it, but it's just so much work.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you're just irreverently out there winging it.
And I have made every conceivable mistake. In fact, our trademark is playing two songs at once on the show. In fact,
really?
That's kind of what we're known right. for. Now, the other day, I had two guests on, started the show. Really started wonderful. Everyone was having a good time. And then the big light starts to shine that I'm not on the air.
Oh.
A button had been pushed somehow that didn't have me on the air. So for like 4 or 5 minutes, people are like, what's wrong with my radio?
Right. And hear all this fabulous content.
Yes. And it's just Austin in the afternoon doing its thing.
You know, I was actually going to ask, have you ever made the mistake of not being on the air when you thought you were on the air? And sure enough.
Well, you know, Greg Curry and I were the very first show. We did the morning scramble.
Right.
When we went live that Monday. And Greg was on the console. And I was, you know, I was the Ed McMahon. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the first record on. And we're like, woo, we did it.
Yes.
And then we get a text. Your microphone's still on. Oopsie.
Right. So, yeah, which that doesn't happen here. And if it did, I always tell my authors, I'm like, okay, so, you know, if you cough, if you have to go to the bathroom, if your chair squeaks, who cares? We'll just start over again,
yes.
Right? Thank goodness for editing. But it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. Here, you want to go to the bathroom, you put on three songs and run to the food bank.
Well, one other thing, I'm going to scratch it down here. We have this fabulous little list of things we're going to touch on today. Should we touch on the thing that you mentioned that's downtown?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
it was in the paper.
I know, but still, I just was going to say, I wonder where the bathroom's going to be there.
Do they
have their own bathroom?
It got its own bathroom.
So we're talking about
the new studio.
The future, the incredibly large and awesome and amazing new studio in downtown.
It's going to be fun because you got all that window space.
Yeah.
You can see what's going on. It's like, what was the sitcom or the movie that, not the movie, the TV series that had Twin Peaks or...
Oh, yeah,
Northern
that's what
Exposure.
I was talking about. I don't watch TV much, but I've heard that.
Yeah, that they had a similar...
Right,
the DJ,
like you walk by and you look in and you see the guy doing
it.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to happen, I think, is going to be fun.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I feel, once again, so lucky to be here on Vashon. And I'm like, how many local radio stations that are this awesome are going to be on a street front in America? Like, how many even exist anymore?
I don't know.
Are we talking two hands worth of fingers, or can I throw a foot in there? I mean,
I don't think so. It's going to be amazing. I mean, I'm thinking putting on a three song sweep and see if I can go to the hardware store and get a shot, a whiskey, and back. That's my new challenge. Instead of using the bathroom, It's like, you know, you got to up the bar.
When I saw that, I was up in Canada on a writing retreat, and I looked at it and I thought, aw, someone's having my leg. Because I'd heard other rumors about what that space was going to be used for, right? And I'm like, someone's teasing me. And then I talked to someone else who's part of EOV, and I'm like, have you heard about this? And he's like, this is the first I've heard. So it was a masterful little secret.
It was. Yeah, so... But yeah, we painted it last Monday, most of it, and it's going to look good, feel good.
And opens actually in January or later?
I believe so. I mean, they still got equipment to get and, you know, some specialized sound dampening stuff.
Right. So. Oh, my gosh. Okay, all right. So there, I don't even have to write that down, the little sticky tab, because we just talked about it. Okay, so, so everyone, here's the deal. Put your thinking caps on. If you are lucky enough to be living in our fabulous VCCC or are otherwise an octogenarian, you might simply be able to think about your friends back in high school. But if you're of the younger set, you may need to race off to pick up your copy of The Mostly True History of Vashon and Maury Islands, of which there are two.
Well, one, the second one that came out was subtitled Criminal Element.
Right.
It's all about the nefarious deeds on the island.
Right. And the first one is just the simple title. Got it. Okay, so the deal is we're going to do some trivia questions.
Ooh, yes, I love trivia.
And you're all going to get about half an hour, 25 minutes to half an hour to track down or come up with your idea of the answers. And then we will tell you. So, you want to go?
Okay.
All right.
Here's my first one. This happened around 1910. We had a powder factory on the island. They produced about a ton of powder, blasting powder, per day.
Oh.
It's called the Skalberg Powder Works.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it blew up.
Oh, yeah.
And
Ow.
Took all of its workers with it.
You're kidding.
Nope. And they're in a mass grave in Maury Island. Yeah. Where was it?
Physically, where was the blasting
where did it
factory?
Used to be. Yeah.
Where is the hole?
Yes, where's the divot on the island?
Where's the crater? Okay, so that's... I'm going to give one hint, and that is that the answer to that question will be found in a book with a red
That's right,
frame.
The very first one. Oh. And I already gave you kind of a hint, because I said they are in Maury Island Cemetery. So it's on Maury.
Well, I didn't think of that as a hint because you can carry bodies anywhere.
Well, that's true.
So, okay,
not
there
these
you go.
Ones.
Now I gave you a massive hint, folks. Okay, not these ones. These were pieces, apparently.
Yeah. Quick ending, like the Sopranos ending, you know, just boop.
All right. So
okay.
Now we have trivia question number two.
Now, our islands are named after two people. One for Vashon, one for Maury.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those men were at one time sworn enemies of the United States, which makes it kind of awkward that we're named after them.
Wait.
How could that
be
true?
They were enemies
activists
of the United States.
Combatants against the United States.
Now, okay, I got to ask a clarifying question, though.
Okay.
That is making it sound like the United States existed.
They were trying to exist, and they did exist.
I think I just sort of, okay, because, no. I mean, because the United States had a birthing moment, and
That's
prior
true.
To that, it was part of the North American continent.
That's true.
So were they sworn enemies of the United States or of the people of the North American continent?
They were sworn enemies. One was sworn enemies of the upstart Americans.
Okay, new term.
And the other one was a sworn enemy of the United States.
All right, people, put your thinking caps
How
on.
How could that happen?
Go to Google.
That's right.
Or this is in also
that's,
in the
that's
red.
That's also in the first
that's
one.
That's also yes. in the red
it's a
chap- framed
it's
one.
It's a little chapter
one.
On how we became named.
No more hints. No more hints. They got more hints than
All
they
right.
needed.
And the last one,
mm-hmm.
let's see here. We had a bank. The first, what was it called? The Vashon's Bank, State
yeah.
Bank.
Yep.
And they were robbed.
Yep.
In 1923 or so.
This is in the green one,
this
folks.
This is in the green. This is the nefarious deeds on the island. What part or why was a mop involved?
I read this one. That's why I'm laughing. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So why would a mop be involved in all of this?
In the fact that a bank got robbed.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Or why does the mop show up in the story at all?
Exactly.
There we go. Right. Well, that would be answered by the fact that you wrote it. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right, folks. So let's see. Now, here's the other thing, right? I guess we can all do a spoiler alert. So in about 20 minutes or so, when 25, when we reveal the answers, I'll give a spoiler alert because this show plays at 11 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for an hour. And that means that if you're listening to it today, guess what? Next weekend, it's going to play again. So if you want, when I say spoiler alert, you can turn off the radio. Ooh. We'll answer in probably about, we'll give the answers over like 2 minutes. So, okay. You know, turn it off for enough time to run down to the bathroom or other things. And then you can come back and you won't know the answers. And then head off. I mean, okay, let's dive into this one. I'm so impressed. My goodness gracious. Okay. You are doing a great job of giving people the opportunity to run across these fabulous little books. They are not only all over the island,
yep,
but a person going off the south end can find these where?
Antique sandwich shop.
And a person going off the, ooh, a person going to Pike Place,
yes,
Market,
right,
can find these where?
Left Bank Books.
Seriously, sweet people. Left Bank. If you, Left Bank Books. Need I say any more? I love that store.
Well, I do now.
Yeah, I bet. Come on, though, an icon. Okay, so there's like 20 places on the island, right?
Yeah, I think 20 places overall.
I know for sure. Coffee Loon is carrying one or both.
Coffee Loon, they have both.
Good.
Hinge Gallery has both.
Mm-hmm.
Thriftway.
Oh, Burton. Wasn't there a place in Burton? Maybe, maybe not.
No.
No.
Sandy, I went to Sandy at the Burton store, and she's like, I don't sell books. But she bought one, so I'm very happy with that.
No, I love Sandy. She's the best.
Yeah.
Okay, but long story short, we'll give you a spoiler alert, and you can go ahead and come back the next week and see if you found the right answer.
That's right.
Or listen to it on demand once again. On demand is really cool. If you haven't done it before, you just go to the main website, voiceofashon.org. And then there's a icon, a box near the top. You know, like there's like several words at the top. One says on demand. When you click on demand, it drops down a window that actually shows you every single show that we have that's not a live show. Live shows are not put on demand,
well, yes,
right?
They are, actually.
They are.
I have my live show, some of them.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to Chris yesterday when he was interviewing Melissa McCann on his show, Austin in the Afternoon, which is a live show.
Live show,
good
2 hours.
Good for Melissa.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did a live show.
She came out and rocked the show.
Yay. So you're listening to her, you do that, and you come in halfway through, though. And right when you came into the show, she was mentioning this awesome author in this title, and you didn't quite catch the whole title. And you've been up for the last 3 nights unable to sleep because you desperately want to know what that book was because she made it sound so great. Go to the on-demand section. Bam, you're there.
And she did that on my show. She mentioned a book that she really liked called Coffee and Orange Blossoms.
Yes, she reviewed that, and the review went in the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vashon Writer's Office, which is located downtown at Hub 070. Huh. We have a local co-working
office. Not know that.
Yeah, apparently people don't know. Okay, so co-working is incredibly popular in Seattle and many places. It's an exploding trend where instead of having your own office and having all that overhead, you just become a member in a co-working space. And so Vashon has its own co-working space called hub070.com. And it's right downtown next to the theater. Brilliant space. There's a full kitchen. There's bathrooms. There's a printer. And you become a member if you are a writer and you join the Vashon Writer's Office, which is located there. Then it's $75 a month to be able to come in 24/7 pretty much.
Wow.
When you need to get away from the farm animals, the kids, and especially the spouse, so you can write. But other than that, there's individual desks and there's individual offices. And
wow,
it's incredible. There's a conference room. You can book the conference room and have people come and meet with you. No extra charge if you're a member.
Wow.
Yes. So Melissa and I, she and I both, I organize Fashion Writers Office, and she is one of the tenants.
Interesting.
And yeah.
Well, so I went there after one of my shows for a meeting of like the editors and Melissa and I don't know, it's maybe
two weeks ago.
Yeah.
No, I was in Canada.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went with Anna Lee, the editor. She's co-hosts a lot of my shows.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. And we went there, and we just got there towards the end because my show lasts till 7.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of breaking up.
But that's the
co-working
space.
It was a great
space.
Turnout. Yeah, a lot of people with a lot of information on where to go, who to go to, you know, how to find editors, how to find publishing resources. It was, you know, even though I caught just a little bit of it, it was very informative.
Yes, there's a growing movement amongst okay, so Vashon, a lot of people don't even know this, but we are crawling with writers. I mean, there's authors published. There's some writers that are not published, but mostly we're crawling with published writers all over the place. They like hide in the cobwebs or under the ferns, and they're really hard to actually find. They
Correct.
Literally.
Yeah.
But they're starting to realize that if they come together, cooperate together, work together, they can actually help each other
exactly.
You know, reach their goals. So that's what you're talking about. Melissa McCann just hosted that really fun, awesome gathering event, and I heard it was super awesome.
Yeah. And if you want to get in touch with her, the kiosk at the farmer's market, the local Vore Litt.
Yes.
That's what she told on my show. That's how to get her.
So there's two ways to reach her. You could go ahead and I don't have her permission to give out her email, so I won't do that on the air right now, but I'll give out my email because I see her all the time, like literally all the time. And anything you send to me, if you say this is from Melissa McCann, I will forward it to her. So my email is marchpower, all one word, MARCHPOWER at yahoo.com. And you just say, you know, this is for Melissa McCann. I can get that to her. But yes, they have this really beautiful booth at the farmer's market.
Yeah,
they've really grown
I'm really
into
happy.
It.
They carry my book.
Yeah.
And
therefore, it's awesome.
Yes. I have I've maybe lowered the bar a little bit on what gets on their shelves, but it's there.
No. Ellen, you know, really for the holidays, which, okay, there you go. Ha. Okay. I know I can pronounce this. And then you try to pronounce it, and we'll see how it sounds. Jola Boca Flun? No. So wrong. All right, your turn. You get to try.
Joka Boca Fluna.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, come on. Okay, all right. I'm gonna play it here. We looked this up online. Okay,
we
so
did.
Here we go. We're gonna try. I've been walking around for 2 months saying there's this thing that I can't pronounce, and I thought I can't really say that online. So, all right, here we go.
Yola Boca Fluna. Yes.
With an N sound at the end, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
Yola Boca Flun. It's got accents over the Yola Boca Flun. So what this stands for is literally a flood of books.
Flood of books.
And why don't you share a little bit about what Melissa was talking about on your show yesterday.
Well, she mentioned that this is a Christmas tradition that started after World War II.
In Iceland.
In Iceland. And it was in response to Europe was devastated. There's not a lot of money going around. Fortunately, they didn't have a lot of destruction of their island, but they didn't have a lot of money. There's not a lot of commerce. So it began a tradition of giving books. Books are, you know, they're durable. They are valuable. You can trade them. You can.
The gift that keeps on
exactly,
giving.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And once you've read it, it still has use. So you give it to someone else. And they started this tradition, Yoka Boca Flun.
No, you put a K in there. It's an L, I think, right? Yola.
Yola.
Yola Boca Flun.
Yola Boca Flun.
Yola.
Yeah, that's mine's a trickle of books, not a flood of books. Yoka.
Well, hey, it trickles better than what do you call it when there's no rain?
This dry season?
Yeah.
Dry season. California.
Yeah, dry seasons are generally not enjoyable. So, yes, okay, well, so Yola Boca Flun.
Yola Boca Flun.
You are, it's a 75-year-old, basically a 75-year-old tradition created, like you said, in Iceland. And what's brilliant is there's this growing idea amongst some of the authors on the island and just awesome people in general. When you look at Iceland and you look at Vashon, well, they're both islands.
Both islands.
And there's all this incredible similarity in a lot of the sort of what comes about from being an island, which is your need for self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And there, we all know, I think all of us know, that after the economic collapse of 2007, 2008, 2009, whatever you want to call it, which we still are experiencing in dramatic ways, it was Iceland that was the first nation pretty much in the world that came out of the economic rubble. And there's only about, there's a roughly 300,000 people who live in all of Iceland.
Wow.
It's half the size of Seattle.
Holy smokes.
And they, you know, there's just some really great stuff about them. They're using their own
geothermal.
Thermal. It's all this hot stuff.
Yola Boca Fluna.
Yeah. The books come flying out of the earth. Leaves flaming. Land in the bookstore. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of geothermic activity because they are on the Mid-Atlantic Rift. That's where the tectonic plates are separating.
Yeah, no joke,
and it's
really?
This ridge in the middle of the ocean.
And it goes all the way up to Iceland.
When it comes out of the water, that's Iceland. Kind of like, you know, Hawaii's like that.
Yeah.
You know, in the Pacific. So
that's interesting.
That's where you get a lot of that geothermic energy.
And, of course, as an island and as an island of people who are thinking ahead, because islanders always think ahead a little bit more than mainland people do.
Like, what if?
Yeah.
We do that a lot.
Yeah, what if there's this giant earthquake? Well, I'll just drive east. That's what you think if you live in Issaquah. What if there's a giant earthquake if you live on Maury? Okay, I'm surrounded by a giant moat. Who's going to help me for the next 3 weeks until the government shows up, right? So Iceland, I think, they are doing really good on weaning themselves off of fossil fuels and investing their energy and their efforts into sustainable local sources of energy. And
And it's nobody's going to build a bridge there.
Yeah.
They never have to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So they even think farther ahead than we do.
Exactly. So anyways, the whole point is that there's this growing excitement around the idea that not this Christmas, it won't all come together, but by next year, we would like to adopt, here I can do it, Yola Boca Flun.
That's it?
Oh, I got
Whoa.
It. We want to adopt and borrow this awesome holiday from Iceland, bring it to Vashon, because not all of us can buy a plane ticket to go to Iceland in the middle of December. So let's just import them here and have this fabulous flood of books all over Vashon. What they do, I guess, is you exchange books throughout the day or whatever, and then everyone traditionally, like, you go home, and of course it's Iceland. So you sit in a chair covered up with blankets next to your burning fire, and you get your hot cocoa or tea, and you read books all night long.
Wow.
So for the people who are Harry Potter fans, and as soon as the book came
binge
out at
reading.
Midnight, you got it and you didn't stop reading till 11 a.m., this is perfect for you.
Yes. Huh. Yeah. Well.
Which is why I love that we're talking this month about your nifty little wifty books.
Yes.
They're hilarious.
Thank you.
I haven't even talked about the books yet. Okay. I'm on the bus yesterday reading Criminal Element, which, what? Okay, seriously, is there actually a CR?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's chromium. So,
chromium.
Yeah.
And there's, and then EL?
No.
No. Okay. That's the thing with Chris. Okay. There's a story in here that I am very embarrassed to say I bought hook, line, and sinker, and reel, and boat, and was sitting on the bus reading it to my son and his friend with all this glee and excitement about how really cool it was. And at the very end, it says, I'm just going to read this little sucker right here.
There was an asterisk at the end of the story.
It says, after going back to double check a few facts, it turns out I made the whole thing up.
Oopsie, was that bad?
No, I just felt really embarrassed.
Well, I just saw, I was in the museum and I saw an interesting picture, and so I just made a story around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the mostly true history. It's That's my out.
That's his out. Yeah. Okay, so folks, seriously, but like, I was laughing so much, my 14-year-old got annoyed at one point and sort of glared at me and is like, oh God, I have the mom on the bus who's laughing. Like, what could be worse when you're 14, right? So I do not recommend reading in the presence of teenagers in a public environment, unless you want them to get mad at you. the front, I love this. This is the first one, right? You know, so it's a... words generally in right order.
Yeah, that's what the critics are saying.
And then it's gluten-free.
Yes.
Right? And so just the whole thing from front to back.
It's irreverent.
Yeah. And Chris, it's so funny. You really will get, I mean, your stomach will hurt at the end. So.
It was a labor love.
Oh, it always is.
Yes.
Writing always is. So why don't you talk, since you just mentioned a second ago, the Heritage Museum, back to the island theme, we have this beautiful example of what can happen when we have awesome collaboration on this island. So tell us the story,
the backstory, the hero's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly was a collaboration. Actually, Gary Sipple came into the Beachcomber and he approached Erlyn, the publisher, and he said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had kind of a little thing called Did You Know? Or some kind of trivia. And it would be just a small piece on what have you. And I got wind of it and I said, I could write a little story. And so the way it's worked is Thriftway, the pharmacy, and Island Home Center, the lumber store, they have all generously donated money to the Heritage Museum. The Heritage Museum has then turned around and purchased space in the Beachcomber.
Right.
And my part was on the weekends and at night, I'd go into the museum on the weekends and just try and find a story that I thought had some, you know, little levity I could put in there, but also interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would write these and then I would submit them, and they get in the Beachcomber. So that went on. I think our first one was January 7th of this year. So it's about 40 odd pieces what I've done.
And you're doing basically one a week.
One a week. So it's
That is a labor of massive love.
It is. And I didn't know what I was getting into, frankly.
Yeah.
But about maybe last June or April, May, and there's, I thought, you know, what if I aggregated some of these and put them in a little book and put it out for sale, because I don't get paid to do the newspaper pieces.
Right,
so I thought this is a way on the back end I can make a few bucks. And again, didn't know what I was getting into. And what I realized, I had to go to the community and say, would you advertise in this book? Which would basically pay for the publication of the book.
Right. Printer's fees. So I seeing the front, you're like, okay, it's a book. And people on this island who go to places like, you know, a Dramadoc play, or you go to, I don't know, anyone on the island who's doing something, you know, Vashon Youth Theater, O Space, whatever. All the people who do stuff, they're getting help.
Mm-hmm,
they're
being
sponsored.
That's right.
Okay. And so when you open up a program at Vashon Opera or wherever it is, you expect to see sort of comments throughout the program.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when you pick up a book, you don't see those people. I mean, the average book doesn't have any examples at all, other than maybe the publisher's name
or
on the front.
Author's other books or something like that.
Yeah. And I opened this up and immediately it was like, you know, there was the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thought I had was, they helped with this.
They did. They
and then Vashon Island Coffee Roastery. Yeah. And then, you know, you get into da-da-da-da-da. And then along the way, there's this really cute one. It says, just think, if you had advertised here, you'd be rich.
That's what I did with one of my blank spaces.
Yeah. But in the middle, there's a map. And then there's, you know, the Sugar Shack. Corecentric is in there. VIPP. Palouse Winery. Blah, blah, blah. All of these little things. And they're scattered around in a very tasteful way. They absolutely make me feel, because it's about Vashon Mori Island history, I feel like I'm holding this true island created.
Yeah, it is a collaborative effort. And they, as I said, they're very generous to sponsors of the book. And I of course gave them all a signed copy and thanked them. And I really don't like asking people for money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a salesman. And it's I got to screw up all my courage to walk in there and say, will you, you know, give me money to put your logo on my book? Mm-hmm. And frankly, you know, everyone was nice about it. Not everyone did it, but no one was rude and no one was, you know, get out of my store, you bum, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, no, people, which,
I was happy because, again, it's just not my nature to do that, but I couldn't do it otherwise. I couldn't, I couldn't self-publish with my own money.
Right, right.
It was too much.
Yeah, the reality is, in, you know, in the modern world that we live in today, across the board, you know, the idea that you can go hide yourself in a cabin for 5 years and walk out with a masterpiece and, you know, have everyone in the world discover it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's not true. It just doesn't function.
Yeah.
You need to do more as an author to get your own work out there.
That is so true.
You know, so
I already wrote a masterpiece. it's called The Bottom Bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a novel I did when I first moved to the island. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a soul, right? I moved here as a house sitter after a big, long bicycle trip. And my cousin was moving his family to Vietnam. He's a pilot over there. And he said, I got done on my bike trip. I was in California. I'd been on the bike for like a year and a half.
Wow.
And he said, would you come up here and, you know, house sit and feed the cat? And I said, sure. Yeah, I had nothing going on now. He reached the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
And so a book was always on my bucket list.
Right.
And I wrote a book. And I put it on Amazon. You know, it's a Kindle thing.
Sure.
But like you said, you've really got to self-promote.
Yes.
I've, you know, I've sold a handful, a couple hundred copies over the years.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, it's not like you write the greatest book in the world and all of a sudden they're going to beat to your doorstep to buy
it. There are a lot of really good books that go nowhere.
Yes, exactly.
And it's a massive act of hard work and faith to put yourself out there to try to write a book.
Even if you write a lousy book, it is a lot of work.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's a lot of your own ego that gets stomped on and... I could wallpaper this place with all my rejection letters. So,
I absolutely adore my novel. But, you know, for me, for example, my family comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm endlessly, I mean, if I go on, I went on that retreat to Canada. I love it. It's so fabulous. I go to Whistler. So I just take a bus or the train up there.
Oh, nice.
And I don't have to burn any fossil fuels. And I walk when I'm there, you know, and I cook everything in my room. I don't go out. So I'm not eating any crappy food. I'm actually doing this 365 days of healthier living thing. I like got a blog and everything. And so it was so nice to be alone for a week, just me.
Mm-hmm.
I get to meet me again, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I got 10 chapters
done. Is that right? Wow.
In 6 days of writing. That's what I'm... And I went over them each twice. You know, they were not like... These are not rough. These are, you know, I mean... And so it's like I know what I'm capable of. And since I've been home, I haven't written a single word on the novel.
Wow.
I'm just flooded with all the obligations of family and kids. But... You know what? They're going to be gone in about 7 years. And, you know, so I can't be wasting my time. I can't neglect them during these last few years.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's labor of love.
It's.
Yes.
So.
So you now. Okay. So.
So what I'm going to try and do.
We need to.
Yes.
Finish that thought and then get to our spoiler alert and do our trivia question answers.
Yes.
So shoot, finish
up. So, well, my thought was that I want to come out with these about every 3 months, four months.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably won't all be about the history of Vashon.
Mm.
For instance, I write a humor column.
Yes, you do.
And I'm going to aggregate those into one of these little books. You know,
nice.
And what I thought, if these would be good, if somebody moves to the island... For instance, I always try to get the realtors to get on board with this. Like, if somebody moves to the island, give them this book.
Because
then they can be like, this is the quirky place I moved to.
That's actually a great idea. Or even better, there are people who spend years planning to come here. So if the real estate agents could be like,
just
oh,
mail
by
it
the
off.
Way, yeah, check this out. It gives you a real taste of the island, so to speak.
And what people have told me about the book is, you know, it's not big. Calling it a book is kind of a stretch. It's a pamphlet. But what they said is, you read these little things and they're approachable. It's like you're not opening a history book and saying, okay, I got to sit down for 2 hours to finish this chapter.
No, I agree. It was flying for me. I had to get off the bus by the time I got to the middle. But the first thought I had, because I read a lot for the radio show. So for Prose, Poetry, and Purpose, I'm endlessly taking in books from potential future.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? And then, and you know, you get to a point, I get it, like editors and other people, it's like you get to a point where if you're reading for work,
yeah,
you start to get to that point where you're a little leery. You're like, oh, God, what have I set myself up for? I mean, every once in a while, I'll read something, and by a second chapter, I'm like, I will definitely not be interviewing this person. And then I just spare myself any more reading. But usually, I like what I'm reading, but still, you know, you're never quite sure.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so when I picked this up, I was like, well, it's Chris. Of course, I'll be laughing. This will be great because I love your humor column and the Beachcomber and whatnot. But I was like, I read the first story and flipped to the next one, and I just was like, oh, yeah, this is a – I remember thinking on the bus, we were turning onto, you know, Seneca Street, and I'm like, this is a fast – rip, roar, and read.
Yeah, and that's what it's meant to be. You put it in the bathroom. You put it in the car when you're on the ferry. It's just, that's what it's meant to be. It's
a stocking stuffer.
Exactly.
It'll be a
that's
stocking
right.
stuffer.
And it's just to get people familiar with what happened on the island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it does it in kind of a funny, you know, tongue-in-cheek manner.
Sometimes lying completely manner.
But I always tell you when I'm lying. I always tell you at the end that and I only did it one chapter per book, I think.
So check the end if you're like me and you always think everyone's being honest about everything. Oops. Okay, so another book actually that sort of that touches on what I want to say about these two and your future, all the other little things you've done about the history, right, and your collaboration with that, is that what I love about history is you can be in the same place and you're traveling through time. So right now I go, oh, Vashon has that vineyard. Okay. But if I go back 100 years, the vineyard morphs into a sheep farm that morphs into a
That's
chicken
correct.
Farm that morphs into a strawberry field that morphs into a forest that was cut down by the original people who got here that morphs into a bunch of trails that maybe led the native people mm-hmm. from one corner to another corner of the island. And so through the time machine of history, we can, you know, there's so much wealth there. And so Karen Dale, she has her book, Garden on Vashon.
Okay.
And she did a similar thing where she went all over the island and she talked about all the history of all these interesting places.
I think I remember this interview you had with her.
Yeah. And so that's what I love about her book and your book. I feel like the History Museum, they were really smart when they asked you to do this for them because they were empowering you to illuminate a whole bunch of gems and interesting facts and phenomenal things that we would have missed if we were just looking on the surface of modern right. day Vashon. You went and you dug through the treasure chest that right. no one was opening yeah. to look in, and you brought out really awesome stuff.
And I encourage anybody to go into the Heritage Museum and do what I did. Just go through their research room. You can. They got these lovely white binders that are aggregated into topics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's all public domain. It's all for anybody to use. It's like the library. They're mm-hmm. an educational institution.
Right.
And the docents are very friendly.
Yes, they are.
So, but you know, that's why I put a map in both of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want people to see where it happened. So when you drive down Landers Road, mm-hmm. you can say, this was the Landers Ranch. And that's where the Landers guy, who was the counterfeiter, he counterfeited
right.
coins.
Yes.
Like, how much money did you lose counterfeiting coins?
I'm going to buy a bunch of metal, melt yeah, it down, and turn it into dimes.
Engrave it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's things like that that really give you a sense of, wow, this happened right here.
Right. Here's the, almost a spoiler.
Almost
okay,
a
people,
spoiler
not
alert.
Quite a spoiler alert, about maybe 45 seconds, so I'm going to put that one out there. But there's one right here. There's the future home of Walmart.
Yeah, that was the mostly true part.
Yeah, thank God it says kidding underneath.
I didn't want to revolt, so I had to put kidding underneath.
See, if you had not put kidding under there, you would have had so many angry yeah. people calling you. And there's, okay, so now, spoiler alert, for those of you who have decided you want to find the answers to our three trivia questions on your own, and you haven't yet done so, I don't know why you wouldn't have, but you haven't, for those of you, in the next second or so, we're going to repeat the questions and give the answers. So you may want to turn off the show or run to the bathroom or do something. Come back in about 3 minutes. We'll do this pretty quick. And then that way you can check the answers later. For everybody else, here come the answers.
Right. So question number one, where was the powder factory, the Skalberg Powder Works, which produced about a ton of powder per day? That was on Luana Beach Road.
Smack dab in the middle, apparently.
Yeah. And well, some of the actual... And I have a disclaimer in there. It said, you know, a lot of these locations are 100 years ago.
Right.
So And, you know, now they're in private hands and, you know, you don't want to go down these crazy little roads to see something that's not even there anymore.
Right.
Like the Swastika Lodge. It's burned down.
I know. We got to talk about that later. Okay. So
so that's gone. It was annihilated in a blast.
It killed everybody.
Well, that's about 5 or 6 people that were that just went up with it. And right next to it, though, was the Luana Beach Resort.
I was going to say, it says powder factory and resort.
And
I was
resort.
Like, is that part of the funny part?
No,
that's real.
True. He built, a guy named Hubble built this. He was a Civil War veteran.
Hubble.
He built, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 cabins out of driftwood. He was an amazing woodworker. He made all of these carved images of Uncle Sam and, you know, 40 feet tall and...
Wow.
And so there was no road to this resort. You had to get there by boat. And it was kind of an exclusive resort. He built a pavilion for dancing. And
Did it all blow up?
No. Just the factory. But even building it next close to a powder factory, maybe not the best business acumen there.
Maybe not. Okay. So that was question number one, folks. So it's all the if you were to go down to Point Robinson, take a left and head up Luana Beach Road, you would go past the ghosts.
Poor look
people.
For the big divot, I guess.
I know. And then one of the other questions was, where were they buried?
Well, they couldn't identify the bodies, so they put them in the mass grave in Maury Cemetery.
Right. Okay. So question number two.
Number two was what was? Oh, our namesakes, James Vachon.
Mm-hmm.
He became an admiral in the British Navy, and he was George Vancouver's boss at one time. So George Vancouver's on the expedition of exploration came into the sound and he named a bunch of stuff. And he named Vachon after James Vachon.
Got it.
He never saw this place that he's named after. But anyway, when he was a young lieutenant, he was in the Revolutionary War and he caught and sunk French and our ships.
Oh, so he was the prisoners. Sworn enemy.
He was the sworn enemy of the revolution. These revolutionary, Revolutionary War.
So the pre-United States.
Exactly.
Folk. Got it. So what about Maury?
Now Maury, he was the astronomer on the Charles Wilkes expedition, and that was the U.S. version of George Vancouver. They went through all this, up to Alaska, and I think he may have even gone to. Around the whole world. I'm not sure about that. Anyway,
so he did it at a different time.
Yeah, this was been about 1840, I think.
Oh.
Charles Vancouver came in about 1792.
Right.
And so Wilkes came in, and he started naming everything. And he in his mind, Maury and Vachon were two islands.
Right.
George Vancouver did not.
Mm-hmm.
He thought at low tide you could walk between the two, so he considered them one island. Anyway, so Wilkes names it after Maury.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maury was a Virginian, and when Civil War broke out, he resigned his commission in the U.S. Navy and became a Confederate captain, and he captured a lot of ships.
So he was a sworn enemy
of the United States
because they were trying to secede.
That's right.
Interesting.
So
our islands were named after people who were sworn enemies at some time in their life to the country that our islands now exist in.
Yeah.
There we go.
So awkward.
Yeah, just a little. Well, you know, they're dead now. No longer awkward.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Question number three.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think
was in the other book.
Yes, right. Here it is.
You've got
okay,
it.
Okay.
This is the green book.
Oh, right. This was the green, the criminal element book.
Oh, yeah. So, the mop.
The mop. So
it's like Clue, right? So and so
in the bank,
such and such with a mop.
Exactly. And the reason that mop is in this story, we had a bank, the Vachon State Bank, and there was a system.
Vachon State.
The state
bank.
Yeah, what the heck's the name of it?
Okay,
the
Vashon.
It was a state-sanctioned, state-licensed bank.
Got it.
On Vashon. It was the first bank. And the idea was that the townspeople knew if the mop was in the window.
Say that again.
If the mop was in the window, yo la buca flu. Let me
yo
try it a third
flun.
Time. Okay. The townspeople knew if there was a mop in the window, everything was fine at the bank.
Right.
But if the mop was not in the window, something was up. Something
this was
hinky.
So in the middle of the day, even if someone was being held up very quietly and they were trying to empty
right.
it, someone could just discreetly go over and just move the mop.
Yeah, move the mop. And if somebody noticed it, like, hey, we got something going on over here.
So what year was this?
This was, the bank robbery was in 1923, and it was on the weekend.
Okay.
And here's
an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bank president came in on Monday morning, and the vault's open, and he heard something that night, but he disregarded
right.
it.
Right.
And they
because he thought it sounded like it was a noise really far
away.
So he didn't realize it was.
Yeah. And they think that the thieves came over on a ferry, stole, I don't know, hundreds of pounds of coins and
right.
stocks and all bearer bonds, and then stole a rowboat to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And
A rowboat. That's a lot of rowing.
Yeah, it is.
In the middle of the night.
Row,
yeah. row.
Yeah.
With a bunch of metal.
Yeah.
Heavy
hundreds
stuff.
Of pounds of coin. They had three sheriffs come over the next morning and
did they catch the thieves?
They didn't. And it was so they got an alarm
mm-hmm.
the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Alarm goes off.
Oh no.
Townspeople showing up with guns.
Right.
Sheriff, I mean, everybody, it's a false alarm.
And they're like, go back to the mop.
Yeah. And my favorite part was later in the next year, I believe, they got a modern alarm system from Tacoma Alarm Works or someplace like that.
Right.
And it had an alarm and poison gas. That's how they deterred crime, actual poison gas. So
This would be in the 20s, right after World War One.
Yeah, I think they had a lot
of poison gas
had a
to be
lot
experimented
of
with at that point.
Mustard gas or what have you. Hope there's no false alarms on that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right, everyone. Those of
That's
you who wandered off, hopefully you're back now. You're listening to March Twisdale and Chris Austin. This is Prose, Poetry, and Purpose on Voice of Vashon's own FM station, 101.9 FM KVSH. And it is the month of December in 2015.
That's right.
And I'm making a big deal about that because usually I'm like all hiding the details. Like we don't talk about whether it's hot outside or the snow because I'm always trying to make it so my shows can actually be replayed in the future at any point. But this one, we really want to celebrate the all sorts of fun stuff happening this month. It's a grand time of year to get together with your community. It's like, oh, it's cold and miserable, so let's have parties.
Exactly.
Right? And we're hoping that a year from now, we will all be celebrating a borrowed holiday from Iceland called... Wait. We can do it together.
All right.
Yola Fluka Fluka.
Wow.
Fluka?
That's a flood of pamphlets.
Yola Boka Flun.
Yola Boka Flun.
Flun.
I don't think they have the sing-song voice.
No, they don't.
They don't. The Swedish do, but not the...
Yola Boka Flun.
There you go.
Oh, that was
it. That
was
really
good.
That sounded like
good.
The computer.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we've... What else we need to talk... Aha. Okay.
Got a third one coming out.
Yes. When?
And that's going to be the humor columns. And the reason is I wanted to come after Thanksgiving and just make a little trilogy... You know,
the humor one. When does it come out?
Well, I'm hopefully get it to the printer in a couple of days.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I wanted a little three pamphlet thing that it'd be a Christmas gift.
What color? Or it'll be a Hanukkah gift.
Oh, yes.
Or it'll
be a holiday season gift.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
Or just buy it.
I know.
I'm a poor writer.
Buy it because it's cold, and when your hands are cold, if you start laughing, it pumps more blood to your extremities, and your fingers warm up. That is your selling point.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. What color is the third one
going
to be?
I think a black border, because I tend to be black
mm-hmm.
and white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either on or off, or... So, and that was the idea, to have every book its own little border, so you could tell them apart. And
that's brilliant. That's awesome. All right, okie doke. So what else do we have on here? The beauty of the well.
Did you want me to take the Christmas present out?
Christmas what?
The Christmas word. Because you went to Hanukkah.
I don't care. No, that's okay. Fine. Okay. That's honest.
Okay.
No, we're all honest on all this right, show.
Good.
And I'll edit that out.
You can get that out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll edit out the conversation. But no, that's totally fine. Let's see here. What else do you specifically want? I mean, I had asked you if there was something you maybe wanted to read. Is there something that's particularly hilarious that you want to read out loud?
Not really. I think the trivia kind of handled that.
It did?
Yeah.
All right. So we are at 50 minutes. We have time. What else?
50 minutes.
We have probably about eight minutes of conversation time.
Well, you're going to do your music, though, right?
Yeah, but
that's three minutes.
Editing out some time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. I was asking this to Melissa. How do you get your ideas?
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, there's probably not, ironclad method that works every time, but
right.
How do they come to you as a writer?
You know, for me, I write in several different genres. So I do nonfiction writing for blogs and for The Loop. And in particular, you know, I've written for a number of years on the importance of understanding the complexity of medical care,
mm-hmm.
informed consent. And so that material is usually driven actually by the politics of the day.
I see. Okay.
So when there is misinformation being presented, or when there is hysteria that's being whipped up, or when there's a law that is being promoted in Olympia that could be detrimental to the health of everyone in the state, those things stimulate that content.
I see.
And then my co-writer, Karen Crisali-Winter, and I go into deep research mode to make sure that we fully understand what's going on with those issues. And we pull out the most relevant points and we do the best we can to, in 1,000 words, present very high quality, informative information.
And that's hard to do. I get dinged on my articles a little bit.
When Karen and I first started, because we've gotten better, co-writing is awesome and incredibly hard.
Yeah,
but it's worth it to go through that challenge, because you do get to a point where you're faster eventually,
mm-hmm.
and the benefit of having two brains is just delightful. But we would probably, for a 1,000-word article, I think we would put in each of us about 25 hours.
Wow.
We would talk for hours and hours and hours on the phone, her at her house in West Seattle, me at my house. We would send drafts back and forth. We would do research for 5 days and get back to each other. I mean, at least 50 hours would go into those first articles. The other thing I'm working on right now is a collection of flash fiction. And I can't remember the genesis moment, but the idea, I've always been thinking about how will the world look in the future? The great change is already happening,
mm-hmm.
and it's progressing, and where are we going to end up? But it started the idea of the series of flash fiction, which is really brilliant. Flash fiction is so great because you're not hamstrung by the need for the full story and the before and the after. You're just taking a scene, basically, mm-hmm. a moment, a very high, powerful energy or sentimental moment, and that's flash fiction. Bam, 700 words and you're done. And so the idea is that Vashon becomes completely cut off from the world magically at 4 a.m. and is surrounded by clouds, mist. You can't see outside of it, and the entire world's gone. And no one on Vashon knew this was coming. No one had any reason to imagine it, and no one knows what happened. If you take a boat into the fog, you come out of the fog facing Vashon. There's no more planes flying over the sky of Vashon.
Okay.
You don't see satellites whifting through the stars at nighttime. There's no lights coming from Tacoma and Seattle at nighttime. Magically, Vashon has become completely self-sufficient, and nothing else outside of it exists.
Hmm.
And so the question was, I was going to do this actually as a science project for homeschoolers, because if you were to talk through that, like D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. the idea of that type of a game is that you're using your mind to walk through scenarios and figure out what to do. And if you were to look at that, and every human issue that we have to grapple with and deal with will come up in mm-hmm. that scenario. Suddenly, you don't have insulin being imported to the island. Your electricity's gone. And initially, the idea 8 years ago was to have children do this as a year-long homeschooling project. As we just talk through like a game, I'd be like, well, how is anyone going to know this is happening? Well, they'll turn on the radio and, you know, Voice of Vashon alert system will tell them. Maybe. Does Voice of Vashon have the ability to function when there's no electricity coming from the off-island source? And the kids would say, well, I don't know. Okay, who wants that to be their homework for the week to go ask Voice of Vashon and find out? So we would have gone through the entire year all of these questions that the kids would be sent home to find the answer, come back, share it, continue the storyline, more questions. Do we have any male pigs on the island? If we only have females, we're never going to have another baby.
Right.
If we've got males and people get really hungry in the first winter and they eat the males, we have no pigs, right? You know, how many chickens are there? Who's going to start raising chicks? Everything from what happens in the first 3 days, the first 3 weeks, the first 3 months, the first year. So when I sit down to write one of those, I usually just think, okay, like the people who do emergency preparation on the island, I'm like, okay, what's an issue they're really concerned about? Okay, they're really concerned about the people who currently need acute medication. All right, well then, what would happen on day eight when someone's, you know, insulin runs out?
Sure.
I just look at the real world and I'm like, what can I teach my readers? What can we learn about? What can be discovered through a flash fiction vignette?
Very cool.
And the novel, I actually had a series of dreams over a 2 year period that were really interesting. And then I got injured and I pulled both hamstrings. I was doing Oklahoma and they wanted me to do splits in Oklahoma and that pulled one hamstring.
Wow.
And then I went walking on the beach with my husband and slipped on a wet log and that pulled the other hamstring. So I'm sitting down, unable to be mobile, ride my bike or do things. And I had had these dreams and I just in that summer sort of came up with this massive world that continues to grow. It's a 1,000-year-old history line.
Holy
or beyond.
Smokes.
Yeah, it's based in the real world. So it's called The Ghost Lords. And it's sort of about ghosts being real in the world and how they function as high-end uber 1% or sort of mafia families that control, manipulate a lot of what's going on the planet. And at the end of the four-book series, the people, the common people of the world, will have regained control of media, begin talking to each other honestly and truthfully about what's going on, and be able to reclaim some guiding control of where the planet's going, because they'll no longer be manipulated by these ghost families that are a little bit self-centered. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
I just plagiarize. simple, easy peasy.
Chris.
No.
You're funny. Thank you so much
for
being on the show.
Well, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yay. Excellent. I knew this was going to be fun.
It was. It is.
I knew this was going to be fun. So what's coming up next, folks, as we come to the end of the hour for Prose, Poetry, and Purpose? This is the month of December.
That's
2015.
It. 2015.
It's
hide
the
it.
Holiday season, the beginning of. And by next year, you're all going to know a lot. We're all going to know. The whole island's going to know how to pronounce Jólabókaflóð.
That's it.
There we go. The flood of
books. Books.
The best holiday we can borrow from Iceland, and you'll hear more over time. But now, normally, I finish with a song by Allison Shirk, who, of course, a fabulous local musician. But instead, today, I'm going to finish with a song that my husband and I listen to all the time during the month of December. So a little bit of personal history shared with you during this wonderful holiday season. See you next month.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red. Christmas tree. Oh. be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. Have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. Have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.